Right now, let's go across the Atlantic Ocean to my friend Hugh Shakeshaft. Hugh, tell me, last night I understand you gave a remarkable address to a number of interested Londoners, some of whom are members of Parliament, regarding this Brexit debacle that continues, 2 years plus since the British people voted to leave the European Union? How did it go down?
Received because, John, I tend to stay away from the grandstanding and the posturing. I leave that to politicians, and they seem to be becoming better and better at it and more vacuous. So I dealt with the real state of the European Union, the Eurozone and everything else, and why it's in, you know, like any great empire, it's in decline, and the people, the last people to acknowledge it's in decline are actually the leaders. This is all about money. This is about nothing else than having our money. They,
well, no, why
like
is it that 2 years later, the Brits have not been successful at extricating themselves from the European Union? I mean, is it that complicated, or they just don't want to do it?
Basically, the Conservative Party made a rod for their own back. They elected as a leader a woman who was a convinced Remainer. And I'm on record as saying at the time that this is a disaster for Brexit. She won't allow it to go through. And when she appointed the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, who was a very vociferous Remainer as Chancellor, the two most powerful offices of state in the UK were run by Remainers. Mm. It was always going to be a disgraceful display, as has been. The EU has this idea that they talk about their principles. Those principles are always bendable when they decide they are. But because they haven't negotiated and we have just capitulated, why would they compromise? Mm-hmm. You see how arrogant they're getting with Macron's speech about building a European army, which is risible and insulting their great, our greatest ally, the United States. You know, who have war dead littered all over France, from protecting them from their new say-so best friends. I'm outraged by the whole thing. And this whole attitude is a deflection away from the fact that it is a rotting, corrupt, collapsing edifice.
You start to explain why so many people in Britain did feel so strongly that they were being taken advantage of and they were losing their autonomy to the unelected politicians and bureaucrats of the European Union. And here in the United States, as you can imagine, we get the same news from the BBC and other groups that are want
BBC,
to be a part
actually,
of the globalist.
I'm not allowed on the BBC.
Oh, you've alienated them
absolutely.
And upset them?
Oh, totally. They're one of their great economic editors. I think the term is, I'm not sure whether I can say it on American radio, but I handed him his ass about 2 days after the vote. And after that, he was going, I must get you on my show. And then it all died a death. The BBC never spoke to me again. So you've done something right when that happens.
When you're banned. Well, just give me 30 seconds on why individuals like you who very proud of Britain would feel like it was imperative at this moment to extricate from the European Union. I mean, the autonomy issue, I think, should be clear. But we hear all the time about how wonderful it is that people can move around Europe without having their passports checked, and that there are an abundance of jobs. There must have been a downside that motivated, over 50% of the population to say, let's get out of here.
Well, basically, once Angela Merkel opened the borders to the EU to what were supposedly refugees and millions of economic migrants and terrorists. I mean, ISIS said they sent 5,000 in sleeper cells here, into Europe. And we've had an upsurge since that happened in 2015 in terrorist incidents. Security was one of the biggest problems. The other issue is it's all about money for the EU. We get very little out of the EU. It's a protectionist racket. It's also extremely racist on the basis that it discriminates against the rest of the world with the ability to come into our country. We cannot control immigration unless we penalize Americans who we might want to come and live here. or other people. But if you're an organized criminal from Albania and Romania and all of these, guess what? You come swanning in here and set up shop.
So that would raise alarm.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing is, you've got local people here doing blue collar jobs, right? By bringing people who are coming from the poor south of the EU in, they will work for half the money.
For less. And that makes it very difficult for the natives, I can imagine.
Well, Hugh,
I'm trying to plan a trip out to see you, and you'll have to take me, if you're willing to, down to the Stranger's Bar. Isn't that what they call it, in the basement of the Houses of Parliament?
Yes, indeed. And on to the terrace. Absolutely, John. Yeah,
we will have to do that again. I always enjoy having you, and thanks so much for calling us this morning and giving us a firsthand update of what's happening in London.
Brilliant.
Hugh Shakeshaft, thank you.